Hello, this is Lee Gowan, and I'm reading from my novel, The Last Cowboy. The section I'm going to be reading from is from the point of view of I, Lee, who's a female character, so you'll have to imagine that I'm a woman. It's Wednesday. I should be visiting my father. Wednesday is our day. I do my best to make Wednesdays work because it gives us a routine, and it means I can avoid my siblings, who generally descend on the house with their depressingly busy families on the weekends. I think Dad finds my visits a quiet relief. Mum has moved his bed into the living room, where he can watch the television or the squirrels in the old elm in the front yard. I take my camera and document his progress. He has no objections, but Mum finds it morbid and insists on leaving the room. It is morbid, I know, but it gives my visits form and purpose. It is a way for us to feel comfortable together. He expects me on Wednesdays. I would go more often, but we have nothing to say to one another. I go as often as I do because I have this idea, I'm not entirely sure from where it arises, that we should have something to say to one another, that something needs resolving, that one day he will take my hand and turn to face me, his eyes opening into mine so that I know he is seeing me for the first time in my life, so I know he has always seen me, always understood me. But he couldn't show me because he had to be my father. Then there are my even more embarrassing fantasies of what I will say to him, my list of apologies and complaints and condolences and recriminations and thank yous. I want to tell him I love him. I want to tell him I hate him more than he hates himself, which takes some doing on my part, for he has always wallowed in a fundamental self-loathing. Why else would he have decided to smoke himself to death? I want to forgive him for everything he hates himself for, with the exception of those things he hates himself for that he has no right to hate himself for, and for which I have ended up hating him. I want to blame him for all of my own mistakes, which I'd never have made if it weren't for my own self-loathing, and where did I inherit that if not from him? I want to beg his forgiveness for all my vicious thoughts. Sometimes when Mum leaves the room to make the tea and his eyes turn from the television and trail over my camera lens, sometimes the first item on the list finds its way to my lips and I hold it there, ripe, bursting, but I can never speak the words. I know they would embarrass him, that he would only awkwardly look away and pretend not to have heard me. He is my father. We do not say such things to one another. Instead, when Mum's in the kitchen and I'm snapping his profile and his eyes find me in that slow, wanting way, what he asks for is usually much simpler. Cigarette. At first I refused, until he was able to make me understand that he did not mean to smoke. Now I always give him one, and he presses it to his nose, sniffing the rich tobacco, and kisses the filter with his puckered lips. Small pleasures mean everything to him. The scent of a cigarette, the feel of my mother's skin on his forehead. One day I was shocked to hear him say, "Your hand is so soft," as she was stroking him. It wasn't something he would have ever said before. He says nothing about the cigarettes, but I've captured the pleasure in his eyes with my lens. They're photos I'll never be able to show to my mother. Mum was furious when I told her I was going. Her entire life is looking after my father, and she couldn't understand how I could give up my one day a week and take the chance that he might die without me there to watch him go. She called me selfish. For a moment I was a teenager again, shrinking from her accusations, until I braced myself and fought back. "Mother, James Aspin is one of the greatest directors in history. His films have changed the way we see the world. I can't very well turn this down. If something happens, I have my cell, and you can call and let me know, and I'll be on the next flight. Nothing's going to happen." Instead of responding, she picked up her spoon and began stirring her tea. I couldn't look at her. All at once, my father raised his head from the pillow, his eyes exuding this strange sheen that I imagine gives some slight hint of the veil of pain and pain-killing cocktail he sees the world through. Mum was on her feet, at his side, and so was I. He was about to impart a message from the other side. "What is it, dear?" "Of course she'll go," he said in his hoarse whisper. I couldn't help looking at Mum, but she was staring into his eyes. Dad, smiling peacefully, rested his head on the pillow again. "Perhaps she'll meet a cowboy," he said.